knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. We will not talk about Hard Boys Dean.
Oops, I caught you mid-cough. Sorry about that. You never know when someone's going to make you live.
Dean's having a physical right now.
Is that why he can't be with us?
Yeah. Dean is in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, your hands are so cold, doctor.
Careful. Be careful, Dean.
Wouldn't you die if you turned around and Bill was your doctor?
Yeah.
That'd be awful. You're sitting there in your gown and Bill walks in the room with
oh my God.
Stuff around his neck.
With a clipboard and a chart. And I just look at, oh, Mr. Richards, things don't look good for you, I would say.
You'd also have a Super Bowl.
Yep.
They sure don't if you're my doctor.
No, things are horrible if I'm your doctor. Dean, we received some very sad news an hour ago.
Yeah.
The death of
one of
the monkeys, Peter Tork. How sad.
I'm very sad, too. I didn't realize he was the oldest of all of the monkeys. He was 77 years old, but when the monkey started, when he was 24 years old, he was the oldest of the four of them. And I don't know, he was my favorite monkey.
Was he really?
I had a crush on him.
You had a crush on him?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him because he was so goofy.
He was the
sort of naturally funny monkey. And, you know, just kind of, you know, went off in his own ways. And then as the group went on and he was doing solo music, it was the weirdest and, you know, most out there. And I loved his creativity.
Isn't it strange how when they put the monkeys together, their formula was, we'll get two guys that are really musicians, Peter Tork and Mike Nesmith, and two guys that are actors, Mickey and Davey, and we'll see what happens. And then when they started doing music, they were really pretty good. You know, that was a shock.
Right. I interviewed Peter Tork one time, and I remember him telling me a story of when they first started. You know, he was so excited because he was a musician, and the producers of the TV show didn't really want any part of that. They had their own songwriters and their musicians. They just wanted the guys that were going to run around and bump into each other and, you know, do stupid stuff, you know, and try to copy and kind of spoof what the Beatles were doing back then.
By the way, the same formula for 60 Minutes. Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. When Mike Wallace and Dan Rather back in the day.
Yep. Just bumping into each other.
Used to run around like that, right? With like Benny Hill music playing. That was my favorite part.
Crazy.
And Peter was a banjo player, a keyboardist, a guitarist, a bass player.
True musician. Yeah.
And Nesmith
is... Very accomplished.
Yeah. Mike Nesmith is cranky. I saw him in Nashville for all the people that played at the... studios there, and he led the group. That was Al Cooper was on keyboards, Charlie Daniels flew in for one song, and Mike Nesmith like sang to it with his back to the audience.
Oh.
He was great, but he just was not working the crowd that was there and loving him.
Strange.
A little cranky.
Very strange. So
that's very, very strange. He was always sort of the moody one, and when all of them were alive, you know, and they were proposing, you know, monkeys reunions, it was always Mike Nesmith who didn't want any part of it.
Right.
The holdout, yeah.
In later years, he would join them. After Davey died, he would join them occasionally on stage. But, you know, sad. It's, you know, part of our childhood, part of our, you know, sort of the soundtrack of our youth, you know, that's going. So it's kind of sad.
Very, very sad. All right. Earlier today, a press conference here in Chicago, Dean. I know you're in Los Angeles, but I'm sure you caught wind of what went on.
I watched the whole thing. It was was rather remarkable. The whole thing was rather remarkable. You know, usually at talking about the Jussie Smollett press conference that Superintendent Eddie Johnson held earlier this morning, where usually they really don't give very many facts and they don't editorialize on the case, and you know, they just give as few details as possible. Eddie Johnson was really quite passionate.
He was great
about what all of this meant to the city, what all of this meant to him as an African American man. I thought he was great in, you know, kind of summing up what this whole thing was and how, you know, disgusting this whole lie has been. You know, now that we have the facts and now that we have the official reports of you know, what they believe to have happened. It's disgusting. It's disgusting that it happened, that somebody did this for attention, for to try to get more money from his employers, various reasons that were given. But, you know, the ultimate effect, and as Eddie Johnson said, moving forward, what effect this has on other people who will become victims of hate crimes in the future. You know, will we believe people when they come forward now and, you know, they say that they have been victims of hate crimes like this? It diminishes and trivializes, you know, things that may happen in the future on lots of different levels. So just this, the whole thing is so stupid and ridiculous. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, if he pleads guilty, if he goes to trial, you know, what's going to happen with it all.
And everything he wanted out of this, he's going to get the exact opposite, you know?
Probably. You know, certainly in the short term. I wonder if, though, in the long run, and I hope this doesn't happen, but certainly, you know, already somebody is figuring out how are they going to get the first interview with Jussie Smollett.
Sure.
After the fact, you know, if he goes to jail, when he gets out of jail, what's going to happen later on? How does this profile him in the future once he pays his debt financially or otherwise for this whole thing? Where does this place him? Because, you know, we do live in this world where, you know, the sort of reality show world now, you know, that, you know, where these kind of things where criminals become celebrities. And, you know, it's just such an odd, it's just an odd world that we're living in now.
Robin Roberts should get the first interview, I feel.
A make good.
Yeah, and yeah. The one word that keeps popping up into my head after listening to Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson and this whole thing is shameful. It's a shame.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, just the whole thing is shameful, regrettable. It's not what the world needs.
Nope.
This is not.
We need love, sweet love, baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Apparently, he'd never heard that song.
That would have changed the course of history.
A Jackie DeShannon.
Yes, yes. If you're the producers of Empire, and I know they haven't decided quite what to do yet, but what is your guess? Do you replace him? Do you suspend him? Do you fire him? What's your move?
There are reports that they are considering suspending him right now. I think they're kind of holding their cards close to their vest on this because, you know, this could be, if they don't just out and out fire him, which is what I would do if I was the producer of the show.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody like that working on my staff. But, you know, they, you know, is it a huge rating bonanza for them if, you know, he pays his debt, eventually comes back to the show? I don't know.
I don't know.
If it helps or hurts the show at some point. You know, if he is, depending on what happens, if he pleads guilty or goes to trial and is found guilty, I don't know. I don't know how you leave him on your staff. I don't know how you
too much of a distraction
with somebody who has done something so horrible, not only to, you know, himself but to others, and really to society in a way. You know what this does for. You know, I think about other people who are victims of hate crimes, and the very things that he alleged to happen to him, people who are legitimately beaten up because of the color of their skin or their sexual orientation or their religion or any of those things. It's a huge slap in the face to all of those people. And I wouldn't want them a part of any of my projects at all.
Dean, let me run this past you really quickly. I mentioned this earlier. Don't you think that some TV drama, maybe Chicago PD, maybe SVU, someone's going to do a version of this very, very soon on their TV show, do you think?
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, how ironic that if it does become one of the Chicago Fire or PD or even maybe even Empire, maybe is, you know, something like that happens to his character on Empire.
And they hire one of the brothers to play him. Wouldn't that be the icing on the cake?
Well, that's another thing. And I know the brothers were, you know, cooperated with the police to save their own butts, but they cooperated with the police. Are they completely off the hook? They were going to cooperate in this also.
That's what I asked.
You
know, that's they were part of this also. I mean,
they accepted money.
You know, the police very wisely used that to help get information to dissolve this case, but they took the money. They went along with it as well. Seems like they're implicated. And will somebody get them some shirts?
Oh, it's okay. I like looking at them. Can I? A texter just came up with something which I didn't think of. You know, it was revealed during the press conference today that racist and homophobic message, that letter he wrote himself, those are federal. That's federal charges. So that could change the things as well.
That makes it even more complicated. Yeah. And Eddie Johnson said that, can't comment on federal investigations that are going on, but using the postal system to perpetrate what he did is a federal crime.
Yeah.
So he's in deep. He's in pretty deep with all of this.
What a crazy
all
story!
All of this on Oscar weekend.
On Oscar weekend.
Thanks for spoiling our Oscar weekend, Jussie.
Luckily, there's no host at the Academy Awards to make light of this, Dean, or who knows what hell would break out.
Jussie Smollett will now be the new host.
Is that true, Wendy?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. With the two brothers as presenters?
The two brothers.
You know,
I feel bad.
I am here in Beverly Hills, but actually about a mile away from where the Oscars are going to take place right now, because I'm out here. I saw the new Captain Marvel movie last night that I'll be telling you about in a couple of weeks, and I'll be interviewing Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson and some of the stars of the movie today. But I'm about a mile away from where the Oscars are going to take place, so I'm starting rumors like crazy what's going to go on. Who knew that a guy on a unicycle and some dancing poodles are going to open the Oscars?
Is that how they're opening it? I love that. The guys from the Bozo special?
I saw all your posts and I appreciate it, but the producers of the Oscars saw our Bozo special and so they got those two brothers on unicycles and the dancing poodles to open the Oscars show. It's going to be a little different. That's the first time that's ever happened.
That's excellent.
Dean, David Jennings has a question for you.
Two things, Dean.
Hi, David.
Hey, what's up, Ma? How are you?
Good.
Okay, two quick things. One, who represents Jussie Smollett now, right now? And the second thing is, who's going to be representing him after he goes to bond court today?
Well, it's my understanding that the attorney who represented Michael
Jackson... not his attorney. I mean his agent.
Oh, his agent.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Who would want to touch him after this?
Yeah, good question, David.
I've heard rumblings that it may be a relative of the current mayor... That his agent?
Oh.
I don't know for sure. You tell me. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't have any facts on this. I would only be guessing about that. But
Emmanuel's brother Ari. For people who don't know, Ari Emanuel is a top talent wrangler there in Hollywood.
Right, and works well, is the head of one of the biggest talent agencies in the world.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that his company may wind up representing him after all of this takes place. Really, nobody knows at this point. This is going to be like a day at a time kind of situation with Jussie Smollett and how it all shakes out and falls out.
Yep, we got to take a quick break. Dean, stay where you are. More ahead. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dean Richards on WGN.
I'll stop the world and I'll melt with Dean. That's what I will do.
You changed the lyrics, Wendy. Dean Richards is here. All right, Dean, really, really quickly, because we have a couple movies that we want you to review. The Bozo special, please tell me you were pleased with the outcome, because it really was fun to watch.
Oh, we were extremely happy with the way that it turned out. We're happy that we're able to, do a couple of more hours of, the very little footage that exists of the Bozo show. Masterful job was done on the digital remastering of it all. It looked terrific, and it's just it's so fun to see. I mean, there's tons of nostalgia, brings back lots of memories, all that, but to me, so interesting to see how children's television was back in the day. And how it was kind of slower paced. Things didn't move at such a lightning speed the way children's programming does now. And I've heard from so many people. I mean, I heard from, a lot of older kids, like little Billy and little Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I know how much you guys enjoyed it. I've been hearing you guys talk about it. But people who said that they watched with their kids and their grandkids and how mesmerized their kids were with watching this, this old-fashioned television. you know, and watching the grand prize game and the clowns grouping around and, like, really doing, like, basic old vaudeville routines. But, you know, the kids have never seen anything like that before. And we've gotten so many emails from people saying how much their kids enjoyed the show. So, you know, that was very gratifying.
You did a great job on it. And you always forget there was always little inside jokes that the clowns would pull off for the adults, you know, that they flew right over the kids' heads. That was so much fun to watch.
And it's part of the charm of that show, especially the great Bob Bell as Bozo.
He was so good.
Who was just the master of double entendre. He was great. And the simplicity of Don Sandberg as Sandy the Tramp, which, you know, really, if you think about it, in this PC world in which we live, let's take somebody who is homeless and turn him into a silent clown.
Sure.
On the show. But he was hilarious, a master of pantomime. You know, and Ray Rayner is Oliver and Ringmaster Ned and that band. I was just completely blown away of how much dimension that 13-piece Bozo Big Top band added to the show, something that doesn't happen anymore, you know, except on, you know, huge big shows like the Oscars.
Right.
I mean, normally everything is recorded in the synthesizer, and it was just, it was a different time, and I'm glad that there was a little bit of it preserved. I wish that there was more. But, you know, it was, you know, just really so fun to put it out there.
And important to point out, for people who didn't get to see it, it will be rerun this upcoming Sunday at noon on Channel 9. You got another chance.
It's going to rerun it Sunday, right. 12 noon. WGN-TV. It'll be streaming live if you have family or friends in other parts of the country, WGNTV.com/live, or you can also watch it on the WGN-TV app as well.
Excellent. Let's talk about this week's movies, and we'll start out with the inappropriately named How to Drain Your Dragon. What do we need to know about it, Dean?
I believe that would be, you may have gotten a typo on that.
What does it say?
I believe it's called How to Train Your Dragon.
I apologize.
Shame on
you. Right. How to Drain Your Dragon is a completely different franchise.
Sorry about that. I misread.
But this is the third.
Somewhere Bob Bell is smiling.
Bob Bell just said, good job, Bill. Nicely done.
Yep.
Nicely done. This is the third in the franchise. There's, you know, the humans and the dragons are living in the same world, coexisting beautifully, until an evildoer comes along and wants to kill all the dragons.
Oh, I hate evildoers.
So they have to find a new place for the dragons to live, and they find this hidden world, thus the title, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. They find this beautiful world where only dragons live, where dragons can live by themselves in peace and in harmony without the humans. They don't need the humans.
Nope.
So it's a movie about the evildoer who's trying to kill them. It's a story about the humans who are getting along with the dragons, maybe separating from their friends and releasing them to live in their, a world by themselves. It's very sweet. It's really fun. It's at times very funny. They have done another great job in this movie. I happen to like this franchise a lot, and I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Good news there. And Dean, we only have a minute, but tell us about Fighting With My Family. Is that worth seeing?
Fighting With My Family is worth seeing. It's a British comedy. It's a British family comedy about a family very into wrestling. The primary character is the young daughter in the movie who wants to be in the WWE and gets the opportunity and works with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who plays himself in this movie, to see if she's got the right stuff to do it. But it's a very dysfunctional family comedy, first and foremost, with Stephen Merchant and Nick Frost, among others, in this movie, who I'm a huge fan of. Both of them. I love this movie. It's really smart. Dean's List B+ on this one also.
Excellent. Dean, great talking to you. Enjoy your stay there in Los Angeles and enjoy the Academy Awards on Sunday.
Okay, guys. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Thanks,
it's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next.
And the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.